Hare Krishna. We will start. Munindra Vrindavan Nite Triloka Shokarini Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunya Bhuvilasini Prajendra Banunandini Prajendra Suno Sangate Kadakadesya Siyamang Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam Kadakripasya Siyamang Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. O Shrimati Radhika, Shukadev, Narada, Uddhava, and all the topmost munis are always offering prayers to your lotus feet, remembering you and praying for your seva miraculously removes all the miseries, sins and offenses of the three spheres. Your joyful face blooms like a lotus, and you delight in pastimes in the kunjas of Braj. It is you who are the daughter of Brishabhanu Maharaj, and you are so much beloved by Bhajendra Nandana, the son of King Nanda. With this personality, you always perform your loving pastimes. When, oh when, will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance? That's the first verse of the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. We will continue reading about Srimati Radharani's childhood pastimes. By reading about her Annaprashana ceremony. We remember that Srimati Radharani was born blind. There are different accounts how she began to see, but they all had to do with the touch of Lord Krishna. When by the touch of Krishna, Radharani regained her vision, the friendship between Yashoda and Kirtitan became more intense. We remember one account, Mother Yashoda had her Krishna on her leopard. Mother Kirtita was feeling in her heart, Yashoda is such a beautiful boy. My girl is also so beautiful, but she's blind. She's blind. So she placed Krishna on the lap of Yashoda. Now, have I said Krishna? Radharani. She placed her blind Radharani on the lap of Yashoda. Now, little children always touch themselves and others, each other. So, Krishna saw there's another person on the lap of my mother. Wonderful. And he went with his hands and touched Radharani on the eyes, upon which Radharani instantaneously opened her eyes. And when she opened her eyes, she saw that personality for whom she is called Krishna Mayi. Inside Krishna, inside and outside, she has only Krishna. And her eyes immediately caught color of Krishna and never allowed this color to go out of her eyes. So Radharani has, when you look at pictures, always deep, dark blue eyes. And the best we say, angels are blind. What we mean is, angels are blind to the world. They only see God. So Radharani, by this saying, is the transcendental Gandharvika, transcendental angel, who only has eyes to see Krishna. And as a result, her eyes are totally blue. Sometimes Radharani would visit Nanda Maharaj's house with her mother. You can just imagine Ketida would take Radha and go to Nandagram, just this direction. There she would have darshan of her most beloved Sri Krishna. You can just imagine Krishna at that time playing. There's one song that tells that Krishna as a little boy would also come sometimes to Varshana, and she would see little Krishna, a little Radha, playing in the streets of Varshana, and everyone was dazzled by her beauty. She had this golden effulgence and was just playing like little children on the streets of Varshana. And Krishna would see little Radha, and then he would run away from his mother and father and run to Radha, and both of them, recognizing each other, would run away from the streets into one of the hills here and change into their beautiful form. The Kaishore form, that is the form around 15, and they would perform their loving pastimes in the Kunj of Raj Vashana, which no one would be able to see. Then it is described like this by the Mahajans. We have in one of the Sanghitas, I believe it's Gaga Sanghita. This is the story how there was Nanda Maharaj and a storm was brewing up, and he was taking little Krishna with him because he needed to look for the cows so that the cows would not become irritated by the storm and run all over Braj. It would be so difficult to collect afterwards. So, but as he was entering more and more the forests and meadows of Braj, Krishna was increasingly becoming frightened because the children are afraid of big clouds and storm. And therefore Nanda Maharaj would be before a difficult choice. Should he return and bring Krishna home to Yashoda? But then what would happen with the cows? And what would happen with Krishna's milk in the next morning? Or should he go after the cows? But then Krishna would panic maybe. What to do? At that moment she saw, Nanda Maharaj saw a beautiful goddess coming from the forests of Vrindavan. It was Srimati Radharani in a grown-up form. Radha said, I'm just going to the village. Would you like that I take Krishna with me? He looks a little afraid from the thunder and the storm. Nanda Maharaj said, you are just saving me at this moment. Please take him and bring him. In Braj, all the women would take turns in taking care of Krishna. It was not unusual for Yashoda to give her little boy to another lady. That's why the Brajbasis didn't mind when Putana came to offer her breast to Krishna. Obviously, she came as the most beautiful lady and asked, can I feed Krishna? And they said, yes, yes, he's just there. Because it was done like this in the village of Braj. They wouldn't be so possessive, and the families would be really one big family. So when Nanda Maharaj saw this beautiful lady emerging from the forest, he just thought, you saved me. He didn't spend time to ask, who are you? Yes, take him to Braj. I'm just doing taking care of the cows, that they are sheltered against the rain and the storm. So Radha took him, and then Krishna playfully turned into the adolescent form of Krishna, and they had the loving pastimes, and they also performed a playful so-called marriage ceremony at that time. So here we can also find that Radha is playing with Krishna in the streets of Ashana and turning into an adolescent form, that they go somewhere. Radha and Krishna continue to grow day by day. All the Nitya Siddha Sakis of Radharani also appeared in Braj. Vishakha appeared on the same day and at the same moment as Radharani. Wonderful. Same moment. I only knew the same day. There are 8 dear Sakis of Radharani who are like expansions of Radharani's body. They are Lalita, Vishakha, Chitra. We are in the village of Chitra, Induleka, Champakalata, Tungavidya, Ranga Devi and Sudevi. I think you all have visited these 8 villages. When Radharani reached the age of 7 months, oops, that's very young, King Brishabhanu made elaborate arrangements to celebrate the Annaprasana ceremony of his daughter. He arranged a huge yajna and invited all the citizens, the brahmanas, the relatives, and his most dear friend Nanda Maharaj and his family. Devi Poonamasi was there, Mother Rohini and Balaram, and Mother Yashoda and Krishna all came to attend the ceremony. Now, you know, Annaprasana ceremony means when the child is first given the first grain. We perform this very often, that the little babies are brought to us, and then we have to feed them sweet rice. There was one baby, Yashoda Gopal. He was the best, you know. It's sometimes little unknown to them that now someone feeds them, plus a foreigner, a stranger feeds them, and they go like, they are unsure what to do. But Yashoda Gopal, he placed the sweet rice in his mouth, and he went like, And he wanted more. And I fed the whole thing to him. He was just amazing. He was so absolutely prepared. So now listen how Radharani took her first grains. When everyone was enjoying a sumptuous feast, Radharani, who was 7 months old, listen to this, on her own took one morsel of prasad from Sri Krishna's plate. This shows you how absolutely attached she is to Krishna. 7 months. Somehow she knows where to go. She knows which grains she wants to eat. There must have been a huge commotion. Many people, Radharani, like a bee, goes straight to the plate of Lord Krishna. And whatever grain is left, she just eats it and relishes it. 7 years, seven months. That's Hare Krishna. While all the ladies were busy discussing their household matters, Krishna and Radharani, in the mood of childhood, met and drank the beauty of each other like Chakora birds drink the moonlight in the night. Radharani manifested a wonderful beauty and sweetness at that time, just as a lotus manifests its beauty when it comes in contact with the sunlight. That's a wonderful. It is described in how this works out. It is when the soft rays of the sun touch the lotus, the lotus will blossom and show what was previously not seen, that is the pollen, which have these colors inside, and the fragrance. So when Krishna's beauty is perceived by Radharani, then she, on her own, will become more beautiful. Krishna says that Radharani is, in terms of his own perception, you know, like a mirror in which he sees himself in ever fresh and new ways. This is how, and what it means is that Krishna sees his own beauty by seeing the effect which this beauty has on Radha, who then opens up like a lotus touched by the sun. He sees, wow, like this. There's one place here which we have visited a little time ago, the village of Tungavidyasakhi, where there is a Syam Shila, a black Shila, on which Krishna used to sit when he came to watch Radharani and her Sakis play as little girls with dolls. And he was melting in ecstasy, so that he colored this rock and the black color. That's what's called the Siam Shila. You can see with your own eyes. It's a very blissful stone which has become black by the touch of Krishna, who would look from there down to this wonderful hamlet. Hamlet means like an eremitage where Srimati Radharani with her sakis would play with dolls, little dolls. I remember when Tulasi came to Krishna consciousness and we visited her. She had many dolls. Do you remember?
My mother was making dolls for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when Asanga took me from the home,
yeah,
she saw the dolls my mother had made and she wanted to take them in this Heidelberg shop.
Yeah.
This decoration.
Yeah.
So we brought all these dolls for this Heidelberg shop.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I remember you came not alone. There were so many childhood friends with you, which your mother had lovingly made for you. And we can see that this tendency of young girls or women at all to make dolls, present them to their daughters, the daughters play, that this type of playfulness is also there with Radha and Krishna. When we look at it, dolls are usually representations of people, and for those who play with them, they become people. The dolls become people. They have names, and they call them by names, and they feed them, and they do everything with the dolls. But in the world of perfect personality, this tendency is something where the deities or the dolls are not at all representations. They are the people. In mundane childhood, the dolls remain representations. They don't have any circulations. They don't have any need to eat. It's a projection. But we should never think of the deities like having no need, not being heard. And I must confess this to you. When I had today this pain attack, I was just turning to Radharani and said, why is this going on in your kingdom? And for a moment I was rebellious and protesting, and afterwards I felt that she was hurt. Why had I protested against her care? I could feel she was hurt. I'm doing this for your benefit. I could see that. And then I felt so much the desire or the call that, oh my God, I didn't do it. It was just the mind. I didn't mean it like this, but I felt I have to go to the deities and beg forgiveness. And Radharani, Mandir, although I did not want to go initially, I felt I must go because I could understand that there we cannot think of the deities as projections of our fantasy. They are real people. They are not like what we have in this world. Dolls who are representations and projections of the little girls or little boys, but who don't have a life of their own outside of the imagination of the child. No, deities do have life of their own and the feeling of their own. And I'm very happy that Radharani pulled me to her today. I could have almost like a personal exchange. Jai Jai Si.